Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are talking about cannabis law firms and how they are setting the bar. We are joined by Deborah Borchardt, editor-in-chief of the Green Market Report. Deborah, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tell us, Deborah, how are you holding up in New York? How has your day-to-day been impacted by coronavirus?
I walk out of my home, so my day-to-day has not actually changed that much. The news is still happening, albeit maybe a little less frenetic than it had been. I think that a lot of companies have cut their marketing and PR budgets, so I'm not getting pitched as much as I used to, which is kind of interesting. I did have to put a pause on a lot of my contract labor, and I'm trying to, keep sending what I can to those people just to keep the relationship going. But I've certainly had to tighten the belt, as they say, and just so that I can make sure that my company can make it through this rough patch so that I come out at the end instead of, having to close the doors. That's something I really don't want to do. And I think that I can actually make it if I just, buckle up and hold on.
Well, that's been a subject matter we've touched on a lot, just how to weather the storm. You talked about, companies putting less towards PR. What are some of the other trends that you've seen in recent weeks here across the industry?
It's been really an interesting combination of haves and have-nots. So on the one side, you've got some of these dispensaries that are crushing it. They are coming out with numbers that are phenomenal. I'm getting information where some companies are saying their sales are up 70%. I just saw something that came in from Headset, which provides a lot of data, where market basket, basket sizes are increasing, transactions are increasing. So whether people are self-medicating with cannabis or they're just trying to pass the time because they're having to stay home much longer, that there are parts of the cannabis industry that are really benefiting from this situation. And I don't make light of that. It's just that they are luckily doing well. They've been deemed essential services. And so that's been great. Now, on the other hand, you do have companies that have actually struggled. So some of the dispensaries, I think, that really focus on the tourist trade, certainly having a hard time because they pinned all their hopes on the tourists without ever imagining we would be in a situation that we're in right now. And I think that those companies are certainly struggling. We've seen a real pivot towards, of course, delivery and curbside service. So some of the software companies that have had to jump through hoops to get people set up for delivery, they've done well. We've also seen the delivery companies themselves doing well. It's kind of hard for some of these dispensaries to ramp up and hire delivery employees. So a lot of them are turning to delivery where they can. And the states have tried to quickly adapt to that as well. So Massachusetts is a bit of a mess right now because they allowed the recreational sales. Then they said, nope, no more recreational sales. A lot of the dispensary owners have been trying to fight that. And so it's that situation's kind of fluid. So what they've also done in Massachusetts is a lot of people that had medical cards let them lapse because they, if they could really just buy what they needed in a dispensary where they have to make all these expenses, on these medical cards. Well, apparently now they're going and re-upping on their medical cards, and so the state apparently is trying to push those through a little faster. So Massachusetts has just been nuts. I feel for those poor cannabis companies because I can't imagine how, you can run a business with this kind of whipsaw change in regulation. And then I think things are
definitely happening fast. And as you look at some of these different states, there's no pattern to follow here. And that's governments like to follow patterns, or at least something they've done in the past. I did interrupt you there. What were you thinking, Deborah?
Oh, I was just going to say, also on the marketing side, I have heard, you know, that different PR firms have seen clients leave. A lot of advertising budgets have been cut. A lot of, you know, marketing PR is kind of the first thing that the CEO says, you know, let's cut that. I also think, you know, honestly, I think there's a lot of companies that are hiding behind COVID. I feel like there were a lot of companies that weren't doing well before this, and now they're just saying, yeah, it's COVID. And then claiming that as the reason why they're laying people off, or, you know, because it really doesn't make sense. Why would an MSO lay people off right now when we're hearing about all these increased sales and such? That doesn't make sense. So I feel a couple, not all of them, but I think there are a couple out there that are hiding behind the COVID banner to, you know, maybe not show their mistakes as well.
Well, to your point on that, you know, not to get into the weeds and legal theories, but a complaint came across my desk, filed in a federal district court in Kentucky, and then the response to that complaint, the complaint alleged breaches of contract. You didn't perform, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. It has to do with the CBD industry and hemp processing. And then the defending party effectively says, well, yeah, coronavirus. This is force majeure. Meanwhile, to your point, Deborah, this company didn't do, you know, all of these checklist of items over the previous months and years. Didn't even come close to doing that. And all of a sudden, they're saying, "Well, we were just this close to doing it." And all of a sudden, COVID-19 comes around, and we can't do anything. So the court should relieve us of our obligations. So it's not. It is going to be a scapegoat for so many different things. But you know what? That probably makes the industry stronger when all is said and done, because if you couldn't see through the BS before, you can see through that BS. And the sooner you go and reach for that as your justification for not doing something or forcing somebody else to do something, then you realize that it is an act of desperation and that hopefully it brings a lot of the perspective back to this industry that just goes back to fundamentals and doesn't you know, carry as much of the BS factor, as I would politely call it.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, we've started to see companies report their earnings this week. Company 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 report their earnings as they said they would. And then, of course, you have one company goes, oh, well, we couldn't file it because of COVID. And you're going, but wait. 10 companies have filed their earnings this week. How come you couldn't because of COVID? Apparently, all these other people, their lawyers and their accountants could work from home. And if you've ever had to deal with a financial company in filings, this stuff that goes back and forth between the lawyers, these are live documents. They're not sitting in a room with red pencils marking them up. They're emailing them back and forth to each other anyway. So I know that working from home can be a little discombobulating for some people, and it certainly changes your routine. You might have kids at home now that are being homeschooled. So I kind of maybe understand a little bit of that, but gosh, you know, at that point when you're reporting your earnings and you say, I'm going to report them on Tuesday, and then Tuesday comes and goes, and Wednesday comes and goes, and then you're hitting you know, I'm like you. It's like, I don't think it's COVID. I think you just are trying to figure out how to make your earnings look better.
Deborah, I have a question for you. You said that companies are likely putting less towards marketing or at least PR. With the closing of so many businesses and, you know, perhaps driving more sales to the e-commerce or online, what do you think or what do you forecast, especially with the kind of gray area that's existed for companies to market CBD, for example, online? What do you think are some opportunities or some challenges that companies might face in marketing here in the next couple of months?
There is definitely a real shift in creativity. People are getting really creative, you know, but they're also calling people out. Like, there was someone the other day that claimed on Twitter, CBD cures COVID. That is such, I mean, that is just so dangerous to say that. And people called that person out and said, you just can't do this. You cannot go out there and say CBD cures COVID and to try to sell your CBD product. Now, yeah, now you've gotten a lot of attention, but it's not good attention. It's negative attention. And that's not good. That's, you know, the FDA is going to go after that guy. I feel like the companies have definitely really ramped up the creativity in the sense, like, I had someone just today send me a bit of sponsored content for a CBD company. Here's the free content. And I'm looking at it, and I was like, well, this is just basically a commercial for this company. I didn't ask for this content. I didn't, you know, I thought it was a very bold move to just send it to me. I was like, wow, that's bold. But I think that, yeah, I think that some of these CBD companies are in do or die situations. And so they're just pulling out all the stops to try to get some kind of attention. And I think certainly with cannabis media, we've seen a few outlets go under in the last 6 months. And so there's fewer outlets to cover these companies. And so I think that that's, you know, where they're starting to get a little desperate. There's how many thousands of CBD companies out there at this point? And so they're all wanting some kind of press and some kind of attention, and they're all looking the same. So I think that they're really, you know, pushing the limits as to what they can do with marketing and creativity. You know, I don't know if they have any money anymore to pay for these celebrity endorsements. That seems to, there seems to be a little bit of that still happening, but not as much as what we saw, I feel like, last year. We're not seeing nearly as much of that right now.
Well, Deborah, as you said, and I don't think it can be said better, it's really important to have a great lawyer backing you, especially during these trying times. And recently, the Green Market Report put out a top 11 cannabis law firm list. Can you tell us a little bit about how you conducted your review when compiling that list?
So I work a lot with the Cannabis Law Blog, and I know I'm definitely a person that knows what I don't know. I'm happy to admit that. And so Sean Hawking and I worked on that list together. And some of the companies I knew, just, you know, like Open Law, I knew you guys. I knew a few of the names. I didn't know all of them. And he's more involved with the legal side of the cannabis industry. So he and has been doing it for a much longer time. So I really kind of leaned on him, and then we just kind of worked through some of the names that we knew. It certainly wasn't trying to rank anyone or anything like that. We've done some of these lists. And to be quite honest, you know, part of the reason we do these lists is engagement, audience engagement. When we do these lists, it gets a lot of attention. Companies like yourself, they enjoy it. They enjoy getting the recognition. And it just kind of starts to drive the engagement with the site. And so that's partly why we do it, and partly just to get recognition. You know, we all work really hard, and it's kind of a rough time we're in right now. And so it's just something that, you know, we try to do. Just me as a person, I just feel like if I put a lot of kindness and positivity out there in the world, that it will come back to me. And so I try to run my business that way. And so why not do a piece that helps my fellow companies out as well as helps myself? So it helps me by improving engagement with my audience. And it also helps my colleagues and peers within the cannabis industry. So we did one recently on communications experts and PR people. And we just kind of, we did a big list on women not long ago, for the Women's Month. And so it's, we just like to do these types of things. Like I said, partly to recognize the companies that are out there and working hard and to engage our audience, even more.
Absolutely.
Well, Deborah, this was, it was certainly an honor to be included. I mean that sincerely, as a professional, and certainly someone who follows the information that you put out and, you know, the reputation you bring along with it, which is all you know, based in integrity and based in experience there, which again is not always par for the course in this industry. It is an honor to be recognized and certainly be recognized amongst our peers. I think sometimes people think that the law firms in this space are all just like at each other's throats, competing for business and are not friendly. Lawyers tend to be pretty friendly with one another, no matter what, just as a professionalism matter. But I can tell you in this, and there's of course exceptions to that rule when you talk about prosecutors and defense attorneys, et cetera. But when you talk about folks that do sort of a more broad-based or civil practice like what we have at the Hoban Law Group, all of the folks you mentioned on the list and so many other fine attorneys, we have really, really good relationships with those folks. We have enormous respect for them. We all sort of understand what we do well and what others do better than us. And we look to collaborate as often as possible. And that's really, really an interesting piece that I think a lot of people don't understand. Plus, just as a fact of the matter, there is so much work out there in this industry that begs for lawyers that not only are more than competent and hopefully highly skilled in particular substantive areas, but also that understand this industry, have a little bit of street cred, quote unquote, if you will. And that's kind of where we appreciate being recognized. But Eric, I don't want to move on from that topic if you've got a couple other things you want to cover, but I did want to sort of tie that to this notion of collaboration. I want to tie together the coronavirus pandemic, collaboration, and the idea of these law firms sort of not necessarily being competitors, but really this idea of co-opetition, how they cooperate and at the same time can maintain competitive edges. And that is, I think that no matter what your business was, whether you're a professional service provider, whether you're in your line of work, whether you're a PR or media person, a CBD manufacturer, a farmer, a dispensary owner, whatever the case might be, no matter what your trajectory was before the world went on lockdown, and whatever your measures of successes might have been, I think that those bets are all out the window. And that doesn't mean that the industry is not going to survive. In fact, to the contrary, we've talked a lot about whether it's recession-proof or not. And, you know, that's another topic I don't want to dive into. But the industry's here to stay, the commercial regulated industry in many ways. But I look at this idea of law firms, businesses in the space, coupled with this coronavirus lockdown and just the interruption of normal life and business, it begs for collaboration. It almost requires it, don't you think? Doesn't it require even these law firms, even a firm like ours who does very well on its own, we might be compelled now to sort of make that next step and look for people to align ourselves with to weather this storm, because the market would have inevitably, due to market and economic forces, caused this consolidation. But I feel like this COVID scenario expedites all of that, where no matter where you were before, you better find somebody to line up with now and collaborate, if not become a strategic partner, consider a merger you might not have considered before, or mm-hmm. some sort of joint venture scenario. You believe that's a likely outcome of all of this? Are people too stubborn in this industry and they're just going to stay to the course?
I think that you will start to see some of that. I think that people are also going to be more cautious with these types of arrangements. I think you're probably aware as much as I am that the cannabis industry is certainly seeing its fair share of shotgun marriages and then, you know, quickie divorces. Well, actually messy divorces, you know, and I think that a lot of people have learned to be a little bit more cautious before they make these combinations. We've just seen so many of these relationships blow up, and when they blow up, they're pretty spectacular. When they blow up, it's pretty messy and ugly. Having said that, I do agree that because it's going to be pretty challenging over the next so many months, we don't know, like someone like me, events are, you know, were a big part of my revenue stream. So I can't do events right now. That doesn't mean I'm going to have to, you know, take my sign back inside and close up. So if someone like me is able to weather this storm and come out on the other side and still look strong, I think that, and I'm just using myself as an example, because I think that this can be repeated elsewhere. I think that the market will recognize those players who have gone through this and come out maybe battered or bruised, but come out on the other side. And so their street cred or their market capital is going to be pretty high. People are going to say, wow, you know, Hoban Law, man, they got through this thing and they are looking very strong. I want to sign up with them. Or this MSO, wow, they made some really good decisions and they managed to get through this and come out on the other end of this looking really solid. I want to be with them. I think that, you know, what you were kind of saying with the BS earlier, but yeah, I think it's going to shake out a lot of the weaker players. And it's also going to show, in my opinion, the character of some of the company leaders, to where people are going to say, I really like the way that person handled this situation. I want that person on my team, or I want to be in a team with that person because they handled this COVID thing so well. They handled it with grace. They handled it with professionalism. You know, I think that that's really where it's going to get to the point that we will see some combinations, because people are going to, like you said, the BS is going to show up pretty quickly and the strong character is going to show up. And I think that the market, what's really interesting about the cannabis industry is, you know, when I said earlier that everybody called out the CBD guy who claimed it cured COVID, we as an industry are very good at calling out bad players. And I think that that's kind of a nice thing, that we kind of wave our flags and go, hey, this is not okay. You company, the way you did that, not okay. And I think that that's great, because the people that do then handle their business well, they're going to be the people that other people are going to say, yeah, let's merge so that we have two strong players that are even stronger, so we can take market share, or just, oh my gosh, I want that person on my team because, wow, they're amazing.
Well, Deborah, I think that's you make an excellent point about leadership and how this situation really kind of shines the light on where is the good leadership, who is doing the right thing right now. It's going to carry a lot of weight going forward. It's going to kind of separate, you know, people's perceptions going forward. We are running a little short on time. Deborah, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
You know, I think when we look back, hopefully we will have taken this time to make the best of it and do good things during this time as much as we can, whether it's trying to keep employees, keep our businesses solid. You know, I think that that's going to be the most important thing that we can do. And I think that we will come out of this a stronger industry.
Well, that's very well said, Deborah. I certainly, I know we both appreciate your time, and again, we very much appreciate the recognition of our law firm. We work really hard, and things like this do mean a lot. It's not merely just nice. It actually gets us excited within and drives even greater pride in our work within. So it means a whole lot there. I would just say one note before I call it quits here and Eric signs us out, and that is perhaps the same company you're referencing, this CBD company, was issued a warning letter yesterday by the FDA. We posted that online today. I don't know if it's the same company or not. This company, I'll mention the name because it's on a public document. It's called Noro XPF. It was a CBD manufacturer making claims. For example, let me read this. Crush Corona! Exclamation point. Your best defense against the COVID-19 blitz starts with our product, effectively. So thank goodness the FDA did step up and send that message. It did something quickly here as it relates to CBD, which has not been par for the course. But I think that, to your point, we police ourselves. And every now and again, by policing ourselves, the government does the right thing. And in this case, they certainly did. So, again, thank you so much for your time today. And be well out there. And we will connect, hopefully, sometime very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minute special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. Stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.